The doors are closed, but the store is open just for you. At the Crate and Barrel private registry events, you can sip and scan your way through the store with music, food, drinks, and a fun party vibe. Don't worry, you'll get plenty of one-on-one guidance along the way from our dedicated registry experts. You can see your favorite gourmet brands in action with demos of the kitchen machines and tools that we've been eyeing. And when the party's over, head home with a special gift from us to toast the day. Wink, wink. It's free wine glasses. Let's make it a date. RSVP today for a Crate and Barrel private registry event at crateandbarrel.com/stores/events.
This sun season, evolve your sun care with new Banana Boat 360 coverage.
With advanced control mist, it's a new way to spray.
It's an all-new bottle for an all-new mist experience that smells great and is incredibly light on your skin. Better control means coverage that you can count on. To customize your spray, tap the trigger lightly to cover targeted areas or pull the trigger fully for a long, continuous spray, ensuring long-lasting Banana Boat protection. Plus, it's refillable.
From sweat-resistant sport formula to kids SPF 50+. Now, I have to wear sunscreen every day. That is one of the things that has existed.
You have an esthetician wife.
I have an esthetician wife. It is her number one recommendation for people. If you do nothing else, wear sunscreen. So when I'm out and about, when I'm on the lake this year, when I'm playing golf, yeah, protection from Banana Boat 360 coverage will be absolutely essential. So shop Banana Boat 360 Mist at Walmart, Target, or Amazon.
All right, ladies, let's be real. Who here actually enjoys shaving their legs? Yeah, absolutely no one. I know this. Get this, Nair. Yes, Nair, the OG, has leveled up. They've got these new sensational shower creams and body creams that smell absolutely amazing. I know this is not the smell that you're thinking of from the 90s when your mom first pulled this out for you. These smells will light up your bathroom, honestly. They'll make your shower experience better.
It smells like a spa, actually.
Oh, yeah. And how do you know this?
Well, I mean, Nair's in the household. So anytime Nair's used, it smells like a spa.
You probably don't even know what it does.
It takes hair away.
It works in as little as 3 minutes. You don't have to bother with nicks, cuts, shaves. And the smooth lasts so much longer than shaving. You're also not going to have to deal with any of those shave bumps or anything like that, because the bumps are just as annoying as the nicks, right? Nair's new sensational shower and body creams are free of all the nasty chemicals like phthalates and sulfates, so you can feel good about what you're putting on your skin and you can have a little bit of a me time moment with Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself, and as Ben smelled for himself, and he likes it. It's Ben approved. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous Podcast with iHeartRadio.
Ash, I just woke up from a week-long nap. We took last week off, and I've been sleeping ever since.
I've had a good amount of sleep this week as well.
It's important that we take some time off, right?
People got mad, though.
I get it. It's mid-season, and, you know, I take it as almost like an encouragement to us.
Oh, totally. Because,
yeah, people were upset. But you know what? We decided that since it was July 4th, which is a massive weekend here on the lake for me in Indiana, and then Ashley was celebrating it with who?
Jared just went home. 4th of July, I wish we had more traditions in Virginia, but we don't. But we went to our friends for barbecue, and we watched fireworks. Pretty common.
Pretty standard. But it's a big week for me. So the funny part about it, and nobody gets this, and Jessica came back to Wine and Lake for the very first time last week. Very first time.
Oh, wow. Okay. She's been in Denver so much.
I know. Well, but I'm not home very often, like to my hometown.
Yeah.
But the 4th of July in Indiana, or especially on the lake here in Winona Lake, has a lot more tradition than any other holiday. Like, it's a big deal. There's a parade.
I love that.
Puts on. They call it the Hood Parade. The fire trucks come out, and then everybody in the lake does fireworks. And one of the traditions that I have is my mom and I, every year, we go out and we buy a ton of fireworks, and then we light them off together. Here on the lake on the 4th of July. So it's a big week. We took it off. We apologize, but we didn't miss a ton. I mean, this is really the big week that we need to start diving in anyway.
Well, last week we missed that promo, the windmill. So we missed a lot in the teaser, but we didn't miss a ton in that episode. But we can always talk about the windmill later in this episode. You know, it's referring to next week's episode anyway. So, I mean, we're going to really dive into it next week. Ben, I want to tell you why this week was a big deal for me.
Why is it?
Last week, I guess, it was the last time I hung out with my dad before our wedding week. Oh. And it was the last time I slept in my childhood room as an unmarried woman. Like, it was the last time I slept in my bed at home alone, because my parents, or my dad specifically, didn't allow Jared and I to sleep in the same bed together while home.
That makes sense. Yeah. No, that completely makes sense. I get what he's doing, and he should.
Yeah,
that's a good rule to set.
Isn't that crazy?
That is like, wild.
This is the last time I'm waking up in my bed alone at home.
Oh, how does it feel? I mean, what are the emotions running through your head?
It's just like so surreal. It's just so crazy. It's very nostalgic, and like, I don't know.
Does it feel like you're turning into like,
it's cool?
What's the okay, Ashley? Let's talk about the transition. Like, what does this transition feel like? Do you feel like you're turning into something new, different, or what's the feelings?
I think that like, as a kid and as a teenager, you're always thinking like, oh, when I'm married and stuff, I'm going to be a real adult. And like, what's going to happen with my relationship with my family? Is it going to be any different? But what I really love is that Jared just fits in, and it just feels like there's five of us now instead of four of us. And it still feels like we're the kids. We still go like in the kid car and stuff like that when we're driving separately. I like the way it doesn't feel like much is changing. Just that we're adding a new family member who feels like my sister's brother. And my mom, even before Jared and I were ever together, said to my dad, this is like a year before Jared and I got together, she was like, could you really imagine any other guy other than Jared being our son-in-law? So yeah, it just fits.
It does fit. Now, is this the now that it's happening, is this the vision that you had for your mate and your future, was that it would fit? Like, it does feel like he is a son to them, and that he is a brother to your sister, which is weird because it would also mean he's a brother to you, but I get the context that you're saying it in. Is this how you would want it? Like, is this good?
I think this is definitely how I wanted it to be when I got older, like in my like mid to late 20s. I always wanted it to be like this. I always wanted to feel like my sister's brother and for him to just fit in. I think when you're younger, you have like this totally different idea of what like marriage and creating your own family is. You think of it's more of like you're going to take another step instead of like growing what you already have. But I love growing what we already have.
Such an important message right there that I wonder how people feel is, you know, is marriage taking a new step or is it growing what you already have? That's a huge, there's a dichotomy between the two of those that we maybe can't fully process, but that is a massive moment for you to either take a new step forward. And I know some people have to do that, right? Maybe their family is no longer around, or maybe it's not a healthy family dynamic. But then also you have that dynamic that you're walking into where it's healthy and people are around and you're just saying, this is just something new. It's adding on to what's already been there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Thanks. Ash, thanks for sharing that. That's a really cool moment for you guys and a really amazing week that Ashley Iaconetti, soon to no longer be Iaconetti, stayed in her house for the last time.
So crazy.
As a non-married woman. Ashley, you've been formed in front of us over these last 2 years and that everybody out there listening has been able to be a part of it.
Oh, thank you, Ben. You're sweet. All right. Should we jump into the episode?
Well, yeah, I think we should transition this way. I think we should say, as Ashley no longer is a single woman living in her house, it's very, it could be very possible that this week Hannah comes home to her future husband's house for the very first time.
Ben, look at that. Transitions.
What in a wild relationship that we have. Ashley, before we get digging in here to Hannah's week going to the hometowns, I would love for you to tell all of our listeners about this help, the sponsors that help put this on. And Third Love is one that I know you love.
Okay, wait. Can we talk about how last time I was with you, you actually called Jess and asked what her bra size was? You're like, I seriously overheard this conversation because Ben was getting his Third Love bra for Jess.
Yeah, that was kind of fun. It was weird and fun. Yeah.
Well, they are amazing. I'm sure she's gotten hers and loves it. I love mine. It is like the perfect. It's just the perfect bra. It makes my girls look perky and high and well supported. And it doesn't include like a ton. It doesn't have like a ton of padding, but it does the job the way you want it to do it. That's because Third Love uses these data points that are generated by millions of women who have taken their Fit Finder quiz. They designed bras with not just breast size, but shape in mind. For a perfect fit and a premium feel, they offer more than 70 sizes. This is more than any other company, including their signature half cup sizes. I'm not going to go into detail with you, Ben. I don't want to like reveal Jess's like personal business like this, but I wonder if she's a half cup size because I'm a half cup size in Third Love and it's really changed the bra game for me. You get to skip the trip to the mall and find your fit with Third Love's online Fit Finder quiz. You order online and you try it on at home. No more awkward fitting room experiences. It is very weird to have to shop for such an intimate item and have people like wanting to measure you. I just don't like it. I've never been measured in the store. I'm like, no, thank you. I will keep trying on myself. There's a 100% fit guarantee because every customer has 60 days to wear it, wash it, and put the bra to the test. And if you don't love it, you can just return it. And Third Love will wash it and donate it to a woman in need. I know I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but it's really crazy how a lot of donation companies, they don't take bras. They just don't accept bras. So I'm really glad that Third Love is finding a way to get bras to women in need. Third Love's Fit Finder experts are dedicated to helping you find the perfect fit. They're available every day via text, chat, or phone. I love it when companies have that online chat or text feature. It changes the game. Because I don't know about you guys. I really don't like phone calls. But I'm a millennial, so of course I don't. The returns and exchanges, like I said, are free and easy. They're the most comfortable bras you're ever going to feel, promise you. The straps don't slip. They're tagless labels. There's no itching there. And right now, they're offering our listeners 15% off your first order. So go to thirdlove.com. That is thirdlove.com/famous to find your perfect fitting bra today and get 15% off your first purchase. Again, that is thirdlove.com/famous for 15% off today. I think everybody knows that amazing feeling that it is coming home after a long day, washing your face, brushing your teeth, and getting yourself in bed. And to enhance the feeling, it's the best when you have the freshest, fluffiest duvet, sheets, pillows, comforters. Jared and I have gotten all of ours from our Crate and Barrel registry. They help us relax and it makes our time alone together in bed even better. Sleep is better, right? Just that feeling that you get to look forward to is better. adding these products to our wedding registry with Crate and Barrel was super easy and fun to pick out because, you know, you're in the store and you just scan it right on your phone. Or if you'd forget to register for bedding or you want to figure out which kind, you need extra time to think about what you want to choose. Jared and I just got our flannels, which, you know, we're going to save for a colder season. But you get to go back and add those things on the app as well. So you don't have to register for everything in the store. You can think about some things. I really like that about the Crate and Barrel app and registering with Crate and Barrel. So if you want a bed like ours, and it's a good one, I'll tell you, that's a really, really good one. It's so comfy with all of our new sheets and pillows and comforters, and it looks so good. It looks adult. And it's timeless, like everything at Crate and Barrel. It's classic. It's going to be stylish and look great for so many years to come. Start your Crate and Barrel registry at crateandbarrel.com/wedding-registry.
Diaper duty. It's the adventure no one warns you about when you're expecting, right? Well, fear not. Pampers Swaddlers features a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Not only are Pampers Swaddlers total game changers, they have the hottest baby gift trend for 2024, the Pampers Diaper Stash, an online diaper fund where friends and family can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. I love this idea. Here's how it works. You create a diaper stash account, share it with your tribe, watch the stash grow, gift it to the parents, and voila. They use the stash funds to snag Pampers diapers and wipes anywhere, anytime. It's not just a gift. It's a stash of joy, ensuring that those parents-to-be are stocked up without the guesswork. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness. Pampers Swaddlers and the Diaper Stash. Because parenting should be an extraordinary journey, not a messy one.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
I never thought I'd take my three young kids to Sicily to solve a century-old mystery. But that's what I'm doing in my new podcast, The Sicilian Inheritance. Join us as we travel thousands of miles on the beautiful and crazy island of Sicily, as I trace my roots back through a mystery for the ages and untangle clues within my family's origin story, which has morphed like a game of telephone through the generations. Was our family matriarch killed in a land deal gone wrong? Or was it by the Sicilian mafia? A lover's quarrel? Or was she, as my father believed, a witch? Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people in an unscripted, unvarnished way. It's getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine, and I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
You know, because we took last week off, this week was a big week for us to discuss. We knew this would be one of the weeks that we help or hopefully discover where Hannah's at in these relationships. And I want to start this whole thing, Ashley, before we break down, I think, date by date, hometown by hometown, is walking into this week after last week, because we didn't get to discuss it with the listeners and our friends last week. What was your expectations? What were you excited about? And kind of what were your takeaways from last week leading into hometowns?
Okay, well, based on the preview that we were given last week, if we really dissected it, we could see that every guy made it to hometown, to fantasy suites.
Good point.
So I think what I was most interested in was seeing why she was so torn and so indecisive that she couldn't eliminate someone during hometowns, meaning that she liked everyone's hometowns or liked every guy enough to bring him along. And I guess this week, to me, was Luke's best week, most likable week. And it created, and it made Jed somebody who we maybe don't know if Hannah's going to enjoy family time with in the future.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good point. And I think that's the big takeaway from last week. As we watched last week's episode and we saw the promo, we knew that something probably not very dramatic was going to happen this week. This week was really kind of the filler. It's important to meet the families. And I think as Ashley and I spoke last week about the episode, the one thing that we were just excited about was just continuing to see when and how the Luke P. Hannah dynamic was going to play out. And we got to see that this week. But before we dive into Luke P., Ashley, I want to start with the very first hometown that we saw.
Yeah, let's go in chronological order.
I think that would be the best way. And our very first hometown was with Pilot Pete. Oh. Pilot Pete lives in West Lake.
Can we talk about how that was totally the part of the episode that was taped last? Because Pete lives in, I mean, I am just guessing here, it's an educated guess, because Pete lives in Westlake Village, California, which is legitimately not even 10 minutes away from the Bachelor Mansion. Hannah's hotel is in Westlake, California. So I just figured that was the day before the rose ceremony, which is possibly why she gave him the rose first. She was like, I had so much fun there. That was easy breezy. I'm giving him this rose, fresh in her mind.
I mean, honestly, that's a lot how this happens oftentimes. The other part, though, could be that maybe he was the first because they flew back into LA and before she took off again, they just wanted to film this first.
Could be.
It definitely, but either way, he pulls up here. Right. Ashley, this is where I get a little bit envious. I'm gonna say that my main feeling, and I'll explain why as we continue through this episode, was envy and jealousy. I'll explain as we go.
Okay.
But my first moment of envy was he pulls up in a little sexy Mercedes.
Yeah, I know.
Not what we picture Peter in, but he pulls up in a Mercedes and he calls it his girl or something. And you know what I drive? We've talked about it before, a 2008 Ford Escape. Like, this thing has been my high school car. If I pulled up to pick up my date in this car, the last thing they're saying is, that car's sexy. But Peter, he not only has a nice car, he also flies a plane.
I know.
Ashley, at this point, what are your thoughts on Peter?
Peter is like, he used to be that Boy Scout, and now he's kind of the stud.
Does a stud have to have a nice car?
No, not at all. But it like adds an allure to him. Sure, it helps.
Gosh dang it.
I'm like, Delta is good to that guy. Delta's been really good to him.
Really good to him. And he seems to know how to drive it. The other thing he seems to know how to do is make things a little awkward. And One of the big moments of this week that I didn't think would even be a big moment, but surprise, surprise, Peter's had sex. And we've seen him be very physical with Hannah throughout the season. We talked about it 2 weeks ago where it's crazy that we still view Peter as kind of the innocent, non-edgy guy, yet we've seen the most edge out of him throughout the season. Mm-hmm. And Hannah finds a condom in his car. Is that awkward? Is that funny? Ashley, what is your take?
I think it's funny. They were like, they obviously handled it well. He's an adult and at least he's safe, right? I don't know. It was funny that she was snooping through the center console because like you just find out, you actually can find out so many things about somebody through what's in their center console.
Yeah, that's a, through their center console.
The things lie in there for drawer. Years.
Like, right?
Yeah. My center console has like the most outdated CDs in them. Things from 10 years ago are in there.
They still, does your car have a CD player?
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, mine does too. I still have a CD in my player.
Me
that I
too.
Play.
Oh, I have them. Like I have Taylor Swift albums that I'm like actually a little OCD and I'm just like a little bit superstitious about the order that they're in and that they stay in that spot.
I feel a little bit like this is a great moment for us to ask our listeners. What would be the weirdest, or I guess what would be the most telling thing found in your center console of your car? Please email us at BenAndAshley@iHeartMedia.com. Let us know what the weirdest thing is. No judgment. I'm sure if I looked out there now, I could find like multiple odd things that people would be like, I don't get it. This is odd. This is weird. I mean, you would find stuff literally since high school mm-hmm. in my center console. You would find a fishing license. That's probably, I know this for a fact that you saw it. That's 7 years. Overdue. Like it's expired. It literally would be weird. So please email us at BenAndAshley@iHeartMedia.com or tweet us and hashtag Almost Famous Podcast and let us know what the weirdest thing in your center council would be. I don't think it's weird that she found a condom. I think it makes sense. You know, he, like I said, surprise, surprise, he's had sex. He's at least safe. It's a funny moment though. And I think it's a little bit of foreshadowing to what we're going to see next week, where sex is going to, I would imagine, be the main topic to the episode. I think sex will be probably what we talk about most on this podcast next week, which will be fun and exciting and weird and a tad awkward. But it feels like we're ramping up to really have those really intense conversations.
We see that too, that foreshadowing again with Luke at the school, the Sunday school, or just like, what would that be like? That's not Sunday school is a weird way of saying that, right?
So, yeah. Yeah. Like, small group, Sunday school, something like that.
Okay. Well, we see him talking about sex there. And I just think that was so obviously a foreshadowing as to what we're going to talk about next week.
100%. It really is. He's setting himself up for a massive implosion. But before we get to Luke, Ashley, my takeaway from Peter's hometown is that his family seems really great. It's kind of like, it almost feels like my family, mm-hmm. or at least it reminded me of my family in the sense of my parents were close. We love each other, but like they're weird. We're weird. Like I know that there's things that happen when we're together that people on the outside probably are like, this doesn't make sense. Like your dad is cracking jokes that like never completely finish. And you know, like they bicker over the smallest of like house or housing projects, but yet at the end of the night they're always cuddling up on the couch, like ultimately very affectionate with each other. This is a weird family. It feels like that for Peter's family.
I really like Peter's family. Yeah, they're like the family that you most would want to hang out with. They're just super warm. I loved how emotional they were. I love that he got so teary when he brought up his grandparents and then his dad. Like how do you explain the emotional breakdown that his dad had? You think he's just like the most hopeless romantic man?
Yeah. Well, also, I mean, and this podcast, I'm going to warn you now, and if you don't want to listen to it anymore, you can turn it off from here. But there's a lot of very personal reflections that I've done through watching this episode and reminding me of my time on The Bachelor, actually. So I'm going to continue to pull back to like my own experiences and talk about
everybody loves that.
Okay, I just want to make sure that everybody's clear that the way I related with this episode was how I related. But my dad broke down a couple times during my season. He broke down on After the Final Rose.
Really?
He broke down during when they showed up to Jamaica. My dad's very emotional, and it's weird. You got to think about this, Ashley. and we forget this piece, and I think it's good for us to talk about now, is all of a sudden your son or your daughter goes on a show and they're gone for 2.5 months. You haven't talked to them and they show up and all you want for them is for them to be filled with happiness. And now they are. You've missed out on a large portion of their life. And now they're telling you they're falling in love and they're telling you all about these amazing experiences they have. And you're sitting there trying to take all this in. As a parent, I think it's very easy to break down, especially if you have that like sensitive like side to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough. And he has a mustache. So we just got to like him for that.
He was just a very cute dad. I really liked that. That whole segment of the episode, I felt like it was super easy to watch. I think Hannah just had a great time. And I don't know. I don't have much more to say about that.
The last question before I fill in Peter's is our synopsis that we've talked about is this. The hometown date was great. It felt like the one that was the most loving and the most accepting and the most joy-filled, I think, throughout this whole episode. I also think it's the one that was carrying, it felt like, kind of the most progress from start to finish. I want to say this, though. You know, one big moment that we can't skip over is that Peter tells his mom that he's falling hard and he's falling in love for Hannah, but he has yet to tell her, Ashley, what is your opinion? Is this the week or is this the time that it feels right? It feels almost weird for me to even ask you, like, is this the week to tell her that he loves her? Because it feels like there's like a time to it or a pressure on it. But would you, if he's feeling this way and he's telling his mom this, would you expect him to also tell Hannah yet or should he wait?
I think per norm, they usually tell the bachelor or the bachelorette. The TV's shaking. You have another earthquake?
If you guys don't know, we record these episodes in Los Angeles. And there's been a lot of earthquakes recently. I think everybody's a little on edge at when the next one's going to hit.
No, it's like you're like shaking your leg and like the TV was shaking with you. Or maybe that was your screen. That was us in your screen and I was seeing an illusion.
Everybody's on edge in Los Angeles right now.
Okay. So I think normally this is the week that they end up saying, like, I'm falling in love with you. Or I'm in love with you. We always talk about the difference between those two. I feel like I would rather them wait to Fantasy Suite Week. I like it when they take their time with it.
I think so too. I really do. I agree with you completely. It feels like if you have this feeling that you want to tell her, and I get that people are feeling this at this point, then you need to wait to the appropriate moment. And doing it hometowns doesn't seem like that moment because you don't get a lot of one-on-one time and there's not a lot of follow-up to discuss, you know, the just the backstory. And so I think the overnight section is the one that really makes it make sense. And it gives them the most time to one-on-one kind of speak about what they're actually feeling. But Peter has now said it. We know how Peter's feeling. His heart's on his sleeve. His family's now invested. Peter's invested. We like Peter a lot on this podcast. We have since the beginning. I still think if he isn't the one chosen, he's the next bachelor. It's either him or Mike.
Really?
I do.
Ben. Okay, so I'll play a little devil's advocate here, but actually, it's not even a devil's advocate, it's just how I feel. Let's look at the Instagram numbers. I think that it's so hard to deny the fact that Tyler has 100. Oh, let me see what he's got. He had over 100. He had over 800,000 yesterday when I checked, and he probably has more now. He has 838,000 followers. That's how invested women are in him versus Peter, who has almost 500. And let's see, Jed. I mean, Jed has obviously, like, he's just not a candidate anymore after the cheating thing. He has 350,000. And then, well, Luke is obviously also not a candidate. So,
yeah. Well, that's a good point. I mean, it typically does seem to follow what the fans are most invested in. I also think that those numbers are a little skewed right now because there's a lot more people on Instagram than ever before. And so I think the differentiator between those four is very telling to what fans are following. And I think, like you said, Tyler seems to be the fan favorite. But the question is, the show knows more than anybody else, and it's been our question all season, is he ready? Which we're going to get to know a little bit more on his hometown, if he's ready or not. But before we do that, we have a couple of sponsors once again that we want to talk about and thank because we appreciate them more than they probably even appreciate us.
Diaper duty. It's the adventure no one warns you about when you're expecting, right? Well, fear not. Pamper Swaddlers features a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Not only are Pamper Swaddlers total game changers, they have the hottest baby gift trend for 2024, the Pampers Diaper Stash, an online diaper fund where friends and family can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. I love this idea. Here's how it works. You create a diaper stash account, share it with your tribe, watch the stash grow, gift it to the parents, and voila. They use the stash funds to snag Pampers diapers and wipes anywhere, anytime. It's not just a gift. It's a stash of joy, ensuring that those parents-to-be are stocked up without the guesswork. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness. Pamper Swaddlers and the Diaper Stash. Because parenting should be an extraordinary journey, not a messy one.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia.
Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
Love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people in an unscripted, unvarnished way. It's getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine, and I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
I never thought I'd take my three young kids to Sicily to solve a century-old mystery, but that's what I'm doing in my new podcast, The Sicilian Inheritance. Join us as we travel thousands of miles on the beautiful and crazy island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a mystery for the ages and untangle clues within my family's origin story, which is morphed like a game of telephone through the generations. Was our family matriarch killed in a land deal gone wrong? Or was it by the Sicilian mafia? A lover's quarrel? Or was she, as my father believed, a witch? Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We now visit the beautiful Jupiter, Florida. Hey, quick fact here. My cousin, my dad's cousin, is the town manager of Jupiter Island, Florida. So I've been down there many times. Very familiar. My whole family's from there. We're on my grandpa's side. So I've been to Jupiter a bunch. It's a beautiful area. Ashley, as we talked about before we took a break, Tyler is definitely the fan favorite in the last four remaining. He's shirtless, driving a boat, rubbing sunscreen on Hannah, and she's rubbing it on him. Can we picture a sexier date?
No, it was the ultimate Tyler date. It was perfect for Jupiter. It was perfect for Tyler. A boat and a tiki bar, followed by his lovely family. It was just great. And like, Tyler just keeps winning this game. Like, in my eyes, like, Tyler is the one that there's just like nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong right now. I mean, I guess Peter, there's nothing wrong with Peter either.
No, the two of them feel very similar in like who they are and how they're interacting with Hannah, and who they are is just men. And they're both good looking dudes who have it together, who seem like guys who want to do the best possible or live life in the best possible way to be the best possible men.
I feel like this episode made, like, if you had any doubts about Tyler being a player after seeing him with your with the family, because I feel like everybody's had those doubts all season. Like, how can he be this great and be this good looking and la la la? But then you see him with his family and you're like, no, I pretty much think this guy is just straight up genuine.
Yeah, I do. You know, the only thing that I get to, and I know this will, women everywhere will just be so mad at me for saying this. This will be great. I look at his Instagram and I do wonder how much self-promotion is going on. I do that often with these guys. You know, there's a lot of modeling pictures, that kind of thing. That's the only thing that's still making me go, is this guy, like, is he in it to not be about himself? And I think I started out questioning it. A few weeks ago, I discussed that, and I am starting to be sold that he really is in it for Hannah, that he's in it to try to find somebody. He just happens to be ridiculously good looking. Yeah. And I think the country is starting to turn and say, yeah, he's not a player. He hasn't at least shown any signs of it yet. And the crazy part is we've now heard it with both Peter and Jed that they've maybe had relationships leading up to the show.
Yeah. What's up with the Peter thing? Do you know anything? There's speculation that he had a girlfriend as well.
Yeah, but they broke up about a month before filming started, which feels a lot better to me than just leaving with a girlfriend, telling her, hey, when I come back, like, this will be all good.
Yeah.
So I think that's why Jed's, you know, kind of story continues. But we haven't heard anything about Tyler. He seems to be one skating through the clear. And so let's assume Tyler's not a player. Then we have this really good looking dude who drives boats around Florida who isn't a player. Ashley, are you in the Tyler camp?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Tyler is number one.
Really?
Tyler's my number one.
I think Tyler is the one that we're all saying, this guy's got that it factor. He's got something special. Actually, Tyler, everybody on Twitter last night, you know, we've gotten a lot of responses on Twitter and then also through email. But everybody on Twitter last night was saying how emotional these hometown dates made them. And the emotional piece that I found out that really got people going was Tyler's time home seeing his dad for the first time. A couple weeks ago, we heard that Tyler's dad had been sick right up until Tyler left. Also that, you know, Tyler's dad did really well for himself about 10, 15 years ago, and then ultimately lost their childhood home to the recession. So there's a lot of backstory and grit built into Tyler and his dad's relationship. And so I think when they saw Tyler's dad for the first time, there was a lot of emotion there, and it reminded me of my story that one I don't know how often we've even talked about on the podcast, and I almost think I've never talked about it during the show. It's kind of crazy. So I get it. You and viewers, I need you to understand this. You leave this podcast or leave for this show. You're gone for months at a time. You don't have contact with anybody back home, no phone, no computer, no internet, no nothing. And so you leave and say, I'm going to kind of put life back home on pause for months and go explore love. For so many reasons, it's a great thing. It helps you focus. It takes away outside distractions. But for a lot of reasons, it's also hard and sad. And there's a lot of like excitement and anxiety and emotion build up to when you talk to your family who you love dearly or friends for the first time in a long time. Right before my time on The Bachelor, my dad, and Ashley, I think you knew this, he had triple bypass surgery a week and a half before I left for The Bachelor.
The Bachelor. And so Bachelor. Your season.
Yeah. So like he was recovering still up until really the day I left. And then when I left him, I go on the show and we're traveling the world
but really for me, it was just North America. While at the same time, not going to talk to this guy who I saw on a hospital bed get his chest cracked open.
I have a question. Did they let you talk to your parents more often than, like, obviously the regular cast can't call home? I actually got to for like 30 seconds once because my parents' 30th anniversary, maybe. Yeah, it was their anniversary. My dad's 60th birthday. So I got to call home for 30 seconds. Did you get to call home more often, especially given that your dad was sick?
Yeah, I definitely did. But at the same time, they're always really weird conversations because you never get to have them alone.
Yeah.
So they're either being taped or there's about four people sitting around you. So like if, you know, as my dad, you know, is saying these things and as I, you know, remember the last time I saw him in the hospital bed, like you get emotional. Well, then, you know, it's going to be on TV. And do you, I guess for me, I don't want to use my dad's, you know, heart surgery to bring in emotion from the fans or the viewers. Like that feels like I'm almost playing the victim.
Yeah.
And using to my band. So like, I would try to keep it together. Dad, how you doing?
Yeah,
I'm good. You know, blah, blah, blah. Good, Dad. Happy for you. Like, I don't want to dig deep like I would if we were together.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think this is a really precious moment for Tyler and his dad. And one that I do understand and get. All I'm trying to say here is I get what it feels like to walk into a room and see somebody you love for the first time in months when you've been thinking about them constantly and worrying about them constantly. And you see them and you hug them. And it feels like a weight is lifted. But at the same time, at least during this hometown, it felt like it was just the beginning to a lot of emotion being shared for Tyler to say, hey, I'm bringing this girl home who I really care about.
Yeah.
Tyler, that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely. I think that what Hannah was actually so attracted to was the fact that Tyler kind of like put the family pants on during the dad's coma when his dad was so sick that he like kind of took over for his dad. And I think leading a family like that, taking care of business, is always a very attractive quality for a woman to see in a man. And she was like oddly giddy over it, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, wouldn't you be like,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, as a man or as a mom, think about it this way. If you were a mom and you saw your son, you know, buckle up the bootstraps, put on the pants and start to be a father figure and mm-hmm. also a male influence in the household, that's not only a proud moment for a mother, but it's also a really attractive moment for any person,
yeah.
man or woman, because you look at somebody, you go, you have grit, you have you have characteristics that show that you're ready for commitment and that you're a leader at any level. You're a leader who will step up to any type of problem that you're facing. And I think there's no wonder that Hannah's looking at this guy going, wow, this is something special.
Totally.
I get it.
It's great. It was great. And then he sent her off in that SUV and it was hot. And again, Tyler winning the day.
It just feels like to me after watching this week, Ashley, and we'll get into Jed more, and I don't want to just continue to pound him into the ground here, but I just have dismissed him so much from this whole show that I watch this and I'm like, yeah, it's the Tyler and Pete show. Like this other stuff is just like entertaining and it's a joke.
Okay, well, let's talk about Jed when we get to Jed. Let's talk about Luke first, because I do have, of course, the most to say about Jed's hometown.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Luke. I think what we have found out this week about Luke and Hannah's relationship is that their common bond is over their religion and the faith is keeping her into him. Because perhaps she doesn't share that with the other three.
It's interesting. We haven't heard, I'm thinking about now, we haven't heard the other three talk much about their faith. But at the same time, you know, this is where my envy really comes in. And I've spoken about it all season. And I have a theory now. It's been really hard for me to process. And as you know, I respect this show a lot. And it's been really good for me. But I do have one major issue right now with the show that it's a theory. I cannot prove it. But I was wondering why, you know, my faith in Jesus is the core of everything I do. A lot of the things I do don't make sense without it, right? Like if I'm boring, it's probably because I'm trying to practice or think about some of the teachings of Jesus, or if I'm speaking about, you know, my love for family and my desire for kids, is probably coming from my faith in Jesus. Or if it's my my desire to serve and to use my time, maybe not for myself, but others, it's coming from my faith in Jesus. Like, mm-hmm. it's the core of what I do. Mm-hmm. And it was discussed often, and it was never shown. And as a result, it was frustrating to me because, you know, as a Christian, it doesn't make sense for me to do many things in my life outside of trying to show that God loves each and every person that has ever been on this earth. Like, it doesn't make sense for me to do that. It doesn't make sense for me to live a life that's meaningless for any personal gain. That's not what I believe. And so I was frustrated often this season with how much Luke's faith was being shown, because I'm not going to question his faith. I don't think that's fair of me. I don't know what his interactions with God have been or have not been, or how healthy his relationship with God is. But for me, Ashley, it's really frustrating because Luke and I see very differently on our ideals of Christianity. We've talked about it 2 weeks ago. Is Luke's going to be a lot more conservative. He is going to feel like a lot more things are black and white, and the simplicity to the faith is going to feel very easy to explain, where mine, you know, my faith really lies in a bunch of questions. I just have 1,000 questions, but at the end of the day, I believe in Jesus, mm-hmm. and I believe that he is God because of my life experience. So with all that being said, I was really frustrated with how much faith talk has been shown, because it doesn't feel like it mirrors necessarily the faith that I have. And this week it made sense to me for the first time. And I want to tell you why, and I want to hear what you think of this. And listeners, I want to hear what you think. So please email us at benandashley@iheartmedia.com. I think that my faith isn't entertaining because it has a lot of questions. Like, my faith is driven by questions. What is this all about? What is life all about? How are we supposed to interact with people? Is there a God? Is there not a God? Does that God love us, like us, hate us? Is it just distant and forgotten? Like, what is God? Those are my questions. And that's how my faith is driven. And really, that's how my conversations are driven. With Luke, it's entertaining because there's stances that has been taken. That it's entertaining because there's anger that's involved and there's conviction in what's right and wrong. And his communication style oftentimes is confusing, and it often leads to us to become opinionated ourselves. And so this week, as he enters into his Bible study or small group or whatever that was, it was entertaining to watch because his story confuses the masses while at the same time captivating us to the further story that's going to come down the line, which is he going to reject Hannah because she's had sex? I think that's why faith has been such a conversation with Luke. And I want to hear what you think.
So you're saying that you think it's like a definitive thing. Like, he doesn't question it. This is how it is.
And so it's entertaining because it is entertaining. It's oftentimes because it's funny for the public.
Yeah, because I guess it's entertaining because there's no wiggle room for him. Right.
Yeah. And it's more fire and brimstone. It's the kind of conversations that we've had for, you know, with the history of the church, and not to bore people, but, you know, in the last 400 years, we've slowly progressed into this very conservative mindset where Western, Christianity has become very, very much black and white, where we've lost the majesty, the magic, the mysticism to it that Eastern Christianity has always had. And so his is very much like almost entertaining because it seems so far off from what anybody that isn't maybe a conservative Southern-born Christian feels.
Do you think that he has gained a fan base this week amongst those very conservative, not questioning Southern Christians?
Oh, I think a lot of people. I mean, I got a ton of texts from friends that are in the South that we differ and we talk beliefs and religion, and they texted me and said, "Wow, how great is it?" I literally got a text from a buddy that says, "How great is it that The Bachelor is finally showing Christianity on television?" And my response was, but was it healthy?
No, I mean, like, it doesn't look good.
It doesn't look right, but it doesn't look good. It doesn't allow anyone that isn't a Christian to go, wow, that makes sense.
Yeah.
It feels isolating and rejecting. And it feels like the kind of the tone that we've taken, and especially in our generation, with any type of divisive topics is, this is how it is, and this is how it isn't. And this is what I think, and this is what you should think. And now we're all going to get around in a circle and pep each other up and tell each other how great we are. And then we're going to go and live our lives and act like everything's perfect.
It feels at least very judgy, a little bit cult-like.
I think it feels very, very Southern Baptist Christian. And I think that it for the masses that watch The Bachelor, it does feel very judgy. I completely agree with you. But it's frustrating to me because I sit here, Ashley, and I go, everyone, I don't know Luke's faith. I'm not going to question if he believes or what his motives are. I don't know him. I don't know that. This isn't a Luke problem. This is a disagreement with his viewpoints, which we should all have, and we're all fair to have those. But what I want to say is that, do you realize that there's so much more when it comes to our relationship with God and our relationship with others and the majesty and the questions that this world has to offer than, hey, don't have sex, or hey, have sex?
Mm-hmm.
Like, do we know that there's something so much more complex to this world than that? And why are we boiling down Christianity to be like, God, talk to me because he doesn't want me to do X, or he doesn't want me to do Y? Why is that the tone that we're taking? And that's what's so frustrating to me, is because I feel like it's just continuing to push us where Christianity acts as something that nobody can understand, while the rest of the world rejects and laughs at it.
Is it so weird that this show over the past couple of years has been so focused on sex and who is having or not having it?
I think it is. Doesn't it feel a little bit odd? Like,
it feels weird because I just don't think it's something that is, I don't think it needs to be as big of a deal as they're making it seem season after season. Is sex sell that much?
I think the topic of sex is such a intimate, raw topic for all of us, and one that still feels a little bit taboo because of, you know, just our generation and kind of how our parents were raised, that it feels like we're still like tiptoeing the line between doing something bad by talking about it. And so we all want to see it, talk about it, hear it. I think we'll see that slowly go away to where we can have more honest dialogue that doesn't seem so weird. But yeah, I mean, but I'll be honest, Ashley, if there's a preview like this one that says Hannah had sex with a guy twice in a lighthouse, like, I'm going to be talking about it.
A windmill.
Windmill. That's it. How do you do that? I don't know. Going up and down. Is that thing that
I have
moves
a feeling
around?
That a fantasy suite takes place in a windmill. Uh-oh. Apparently Greece has windmills, even though Amsterdam and Holland and the Netherlands are known for their windmills. I believe that the sex happens next week, but we'll see.
Yeah. I think, Ashley, what I want to get out was, I'm envious because I would have loved to talk about Jesus during my season.
I know.
And I'm sad that I that wasn't a topic. And I'm also a little sad of how Jesus is being portrayed this season, for the right or wrong. If Luke was having so much sex that it was a problem, or if he was feel like having sex at all was a problem, and he's a better man because he stopped and he was no longer mistreating women, or he was no longer mistreating himself, and his partying ways allowed it for clarity to where he can now start to focus on people better. We got to celebrate that. Like, that's a good victory in life for anybody, to where they can get rid of things that are harmful to themselves to help them become a better person. Now, all those things will be different to everybody. But his friends are saying something the whole time, Ashley, that as viewers, I think we saw a lot of tweets. They're saying it's laughable because all of his friends are saying he's the nicest dude ever. One tweet that we got says, of course, Luke would fill the room with a bunch of people that will make him look like the best guy ever. Do you agree or disagree? Or do you think that Luke back home is really that type of guy that everybody loves?
I think that Luke back home probably surrounds himself with people that really genuinely like him, as we all do. I feel like he just he rubs the guys in the Bachelor house the wrong way because they don't see the world like he does or tries to see the world.
There's an interesting take that Lauren, speaking of what you just said, Lauren Zima has an interesting take this week where I heard her talking and she said, you know, the one thing we got to give Luke credit for, and it seems like the fans are, is that he is still the one guy that's definitely there for Hannah. You know, Tyler and Pete embrace once Peter gets back to the house like true friends do. And Jed seems to get along with those guys just fine. But Luke is still the guy that has no friends in the house, but is still there for Hannah. Do we feel like there is room for friendship while at the same time you're falling in love and dating the same woman?
at a certain point, I think there's going to be tension between the friends, especially when it comes top four. There's a good reason why that's the time where you stop interacting with the other cast members. You're completely separated from them. I don't know if a lot of people know that. The only times you see the other cast members during this week and on is at rose ceremonies. And I do feel like they can have a great friendship, but it definitely feels a little weird to be like congratulating and stuff and being happy that the other guy's sticking around at this point. Cause then it does feel like, oh, well, how invested are you in her if you're still happy your friend is hanging around? You know, you think you can question that?
I look back on my time with Sean Booth, and we were really good friends, and he obviously ended up with Caitlin, and I wanted to celebrate him, but also was happy for them because we were better friends. Like, we were good friends. And so I wanted to celebrate them as a couple because I knew who he was as a man. And, mm-hmm. and I knew at the time how much they cared for each other, but it did feel weird at all levels for him to ever confide in me about his relationship. And I'm sure it was vice versa. And so at some point we just stopped talking about it.
Yeah. At some point, I think like you put it kind of on pause.
It would be beneficial, though, I will say this, for Hannah, if Luke or if Tyler and Pete get along really well, that at the end of this, if she ends up with one of them and not the other, because then they will hopefully discuss and they'll both understand why she was so into both of them. And there's no longer that tension between, oh, my gosh, do you still think about Tyler? Oh, my gosh, do you still think about Peter? They'll say, no, we all get along just fine. We respect each other. We like each other. But I'm ultimately moving on with one of those guys alone.
That's not how Sean was with you guys.
We talked for a little bit afterwards. I think it just gets hard. I think it gets weird because you have to watch it back then. And you have to see this person that you love saying things and doing things with your friends. And it's like, I don't like this. Like, this isn't fun for me to watch her at all, any level, making out with people, especially people that I consider my friends. You take it personally for a while, and I think over time it fades. But there is good examples of people who get along post-show. I think Blake and Garrett get along really well post-show. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, I don't know about Nick's season if they get along very well post-show. But, you know, Cassie is really good friends with Kaylin, so that's happening post-show. Like, there's things that happen. There that does exist. Hey, Ashley, I want to talk to you a little bit. We obviously know that Luke's family is going to support him. I mean, it's family, and we'd hope they would. That would be really sad if they didn't. Does your viewpoint of Luke after his hometown, has it changed at all? Has this done anything good for you?
I mean, it helps him a little bit because his family seems genuinely nice, and like they seem pretty lovely, right? The sister-in-law and the brother, they really try to defend him. It was interesting. I actually loved how Hannah was so upfront with, like, this hasn't been easy for us. Like, he has created a lot of complications along the way. But I guess, like, this is the best I've ever felt about Luke, but it doesn't mean that, like, I am rooting for him in any capacity.
Is it weird for you? A big article came out this week or last night on Us Weekly about Hannah's text during the show and how kind of controversial there were.
Yeah.
Her tweets, sorry. And one tweet said, have you ever told a family that nobody likes your son? That, you know what I took? It doesn't sound like somebody that has a fiance, like that Luke is her fiance. Like, I don't think my fiance would be tweeting something like that.
Oh, yeah. No, totally not.
So it obviously doesn't end well.
Well, I mean, I think it's like not a spoiler because we've already seen Luke's exit.
So it's pretty, we're just kind of waiting to see when he goes home.
I guess why have they, I mean, like, I know it's a great teaser, but I'm still kind of confused why they would leave this so anticlimactic for us, because they put the best stuff in the teaser. I mean, unless there's like better stuff waiting for us.
Oh, I think, from everything I hear, and I still don't know how this ends, but the rumors that go around Bachelor Nation right now and is that this season ends in the wildest way ever.
The season ends?
Yeah.
But I'm talking about like the windmill, like her confessing to Luke that she did have sex with somebody in that whole scene, which is kind of like this season's fence jumping scene. I just am really curious as to why they've shown Luke attached to that scene. Because wouldn't it be better if we didn't know who she was talking to in that moment? Like, why did they give away his exit for us?
Well, because I think it's, I have a theory that there's so many other amazing things that are going to happen in the next few weeks that is just a small little moment.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I think there's some crazy things going to happen. And I think her talking to Luke about this is something that we'll watch with intrigue, and it will ultimately be a big moment, but it'll just be a moment and it won't be a storyline.
Okay. Well, there is that whole, he comes back with the ring thing. That's something we've kind of forgotten about.
Yeah. There's a lot to do and a lot to go on, and we're just really getting into it. We have weeks left. Okay. Finally, I want to touch once again. Hannah sent some tweets out last night that were controversial, that people seem to be maybe criticizing or judging or also celebrating. Are you a fan of this? Did any of them rub you the wrong way? Do you want her to continue this, or should she stay off of social media until the end of the season?
Oh, well, should we go through these? So she quoted Train's 2001 hit, Drops of Jupiter, last night, and she tweeted, "Back from the atmosphere, now drops of Jupiter in her hair, alongside a photo of them in the ocean, her and Tyler." So she's looking upon Tyler still highly, possibly nostalgic, romantically. Do you confirm?
Yeah, I do confirm. I mean, I don't think it points me to if they're together or not, but I just think there is a lot of, after reading through all the texts or tweets on each one of the people, it feels like you can tell definitely who she's in favor of and who she's not. And she's definitely in favor of Tyler.
Yeah. So even if they don't end up together, she's still like a fan.
Yes, definitely.
And Tyler has also tweeted very kind things about Hannah as well in the past couple weeks.
I think it's going to be one of those scenarios that even if they're not together, which I wouldn't be surprised if they are, there's a lot of respect, and that this will ultimately come down to them sitting at, like, after the final rose or Mintel All or whatever, either madly in love or just like super positive about each other.
Yeah, totally. And then she tweeted during her dates with Luke and Jed, "God bless this mess."
Huh. Again, I don't think that points us to thinking that she's with either of them. That's my read on that, right? I mean, public, what do you think? Let us know through Twitter or through email. But these tweets seem to be pointing that if she's saying God bless this mess, like, I don't think she's with Jed or Luke, but maybe she is.
But I guess it just could be like, all of, aren't families just a mess? Aren't they? Isn't it always? Well, not really. Not with me. And probably not with you. You get along with Jess's family and.
Yeah.
Man,
great.
This is not messy for us either. So
our biggest mess is like, you know, how good of a time can we have? And if like baseball's on, and how are we going to fit that into the dinner schedule? So like, no, I get along great with her family. And I'm sure there's going to be moments where like, oh, we need a break. I mean, Jess just spent a week with my parents and she left and she's like, that was awesome. Now I'm guaranteeing there's moments where she was like, I need to get out of this house. This is crazy. But for the most part, we got along fine. So I don't know, Ashley, listeners out there, please go back through, read this article. It just shows the tweets that Hannah was sending. It seems to be pointing in the direction of Tyler and Pete being the favorites.
Oh my God. Wait. There's another tweet we have to read.
What's that?
She said during the Georgia date, which was with Luke, she goes, I was on meds. I was sick. I went to urgent care. I do not know the things I said while in Georgia. So she did say about Luke in her interview, I'm in love with Luke. Or she said, I love Luke. Then she goes, I'm falling in love with Luke. So she obviously is saying, like, I was totally incoherent when I said that.
Oh, no, that's not good for anybody. But here's my question. This brings up a new topic. I cannot wait to talk to Hannah. It's going to be one of my first questions. How often was she sick on this show?
I know.
We've seen her sick like almost every week. The poor girl's had like a constant flu.
She's still looking great. There was another cryptic thing she posted on Instagram that I think is now gone. It was her at the Dodgers game, and she said something, and it was the day that the Jed news broke, but it looks deleted now.
Interesting.
Let me see. I'm gonna type that in right now.
Okay,
while you do that, keep talking.
Well, while you do that, Ashley, let's take a break and let's talk to everybody about some of our favorite sponsors who we care so much about.
Diaper duty. It's the adventure no one warns you about when you're expecting, right? Well, fear not.
Pampers Swaddlers features a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Not only are Pampers Swaddlers total game changers, they have the hottest baby gift trend for 2024, the Pampers Diaper Stash, an online diaper fund where friends and family can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. I love this idea. Here's how it works. You create a diaper stash account, share it with your tribe, watch the stash grow, gift it to the parents, and voila. They use the stash funds to snag Pampers diapers and wipes anywhere, anytime. It's not just a gift. It's a stash of joy. Ensuring that those parents-to-be are stocked up without the guesswork. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness. Pamper Swaddlers and the Diaper Stash. Because parenting should be an extraordinary journey, not a messy one.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
Came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Every family has skeletons in their closet. Mine certainly does. Ones that go back 100 years and reach thousands of miles back to our hometown in Sicily. Ever since I can remember, my relatives told the story of my great-great-grandmother who was killed by the mafia. I'm Joe Piazza, and in my new podcast, I'm taking on a generational vendetta, visiting the scene of the crime, confronting mafia experts, tracking down Italian officials, and even consulting mediums to set the record straight on my great-great-grandmother's mysterious disappearance. And in between the fact-finding missions, I'll be drinking a lot of wine and eating all of the pasta. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
iHeartRadio wants you to be part of history and watch the entire world of music converge on Las Vegas for our iHeartRadio Music Festival.
Two nights. One stage with performances you've never seen before and, hey, won't ever see again. Alicia Keys, Cage the Elephant, Camila Cabello, Chance the Rapper, Def Leppard, French Montana, Halsey, Heart, Her, Hootie and the Blowfish. Ashley, tell us about the rest.
Marshmello, Miley Cyrus, Mumford & Sons, Steve Aoki with special guests Darren Criss and Monsta X, Tim McGraw, Zach Brown Band, and more.
September 20th and 21st at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. Two nights, one stage. Tickets start at just $75, and they're selling fast. Get yours now at AXS.com and get all the info at iHeartRadio.com. Our sponsors keep this thing going. But Ashley, before break, was talking about how there's a cryptic Instagram message that Hannah has sent out that has now been deleted, we think. But she's found it. Ashley, tell our listeners.
Yeah. So she has deleted it, I think. Looking at her profile. A couple weeks ago when the Jed thing came out, Hannah posted a picture of her throwing the first pitch out at a Dodgers game. And the caption read, "Throwing out pitches, snitches," referring to possibly Lindsay, Jed's ex, as a snitch.
Ooh, throwing out pitches, snitches.
The day of.
I do got to give Hannah credit that if she is really cryptically writing these messages, she does a pretty freaking good job at it.
Yeah,
like, I know. Her tweets are really funny. They're super cryptic. They're hard to understand sometimes. But if you read through them, you're like, I get it. Like, girl, smart. She's getting it. Speaking of Jed, we've got to jump in here. We're running out of time, but we've got to talk about Jed's hometown. I think it was a train wreck. I don't think it makes any sense. And again, I say all of this, Ashley, because I've dismissed Jed from the show because of what we found out about him. I also don't love that his ex-girlfriend has gone on every single, it feels like, podcast or talk show out there to discuss this thing. It no longer makes this thing feel like an organic like situation. It just feels like there's a story to be told and she's telling it. But I'm not a fan that Jed did this whole thing. I don't know the backstory. We've never talked to Jed, and hopefully we can get him on the podcast soon to get to the bottom of it. But once again, music is a part of his date. We've never seen anything like this so before. Weird. What's your thought?
It's so bizarre how like he's admitted that he came on to promote his career. And like we've said before, we've never seen any other musician get so much music screen time. That being said, I mean, I think it's super crazy that the hometown was them writing a song in a studio, and then they went to the family, in which like they literally were like, we're more supportive of his music career than we are with his relationship, possibly with you. But I have to say that it was a very genuine moment when they were at the mic singing the song together. I was like, okay, I feel this. This feels really genuine. I feel like maybe he fell in love with her. So then I'm sitting on the couch and I'm like, Jared, I think he does love her. And this is like all just too bad. And then he goes, does it matter? And I go, well, yeah, of course it matters. It makes me feel good that he genuinely did end up falling for her totally unexpectedly. But he goes, but in the end, does it matter? And I go, I guess not, because although it makes me feel better about his character, at the end of the day, he's not somebody that maybe it doesn't make me feel better about his character, but it makes me just feel, it makes me like have feel good that he got tricked. And damn it, what is the words here? What are the words here? I like the way that the process worked for him, and like was like, ha ha, joke's on you, it worked, and you never even thought it was a possibility. That's what
He got what he had coming for him. Like, he went into this whole thing saying, I'm not here to be famous. He says that up front, and he almost tries to get ahead of the game by saying, oh, I wasn't here, I came to be famous and I fell in love. And so he's helping like diffuse the argument that he ultimately knows will come down the line later. And then we kind of all believe him. I remember it. We all believed him. We're like, that's kind of cool that he did that. And we get it. And then at the very end, it turns back on him and it blows back up in his face.
So thank you. Yes. Joke's on him. That's what I kind of like about it. But then when Jared was like, but does it matter at the end of the day? And I'm like, I guess you're right. I guess it doesn't, because you can't be in a relationship with somebody that you can't trust no matter how much you love them, because trust is such a crucial part of a relationship. And Hannah, when she finds this news out about the girlfriend, I don't think she's ever going to be able to fully trust him.
It's going to be really interesting how this whole thing ends. But I think one telling factor was how his family treated Hannah on the hometown date.
Oh, I would have been so turned off. And I would have like had a conversation with him after that hometown date.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like they wanted to, but they didn't want to throw him under the bus on national television. They felt like they were being like tongue in cheek the whole time, wanting to tell him, hey, what's going on here? While at the same time not saying anything because they knew it would make him look like an idiot. And I think he was probably sitting there the whole time nervous going, I know what is going through their head. I want to tell them. I'm trying to like cryptically tell them that everything's fine and that I have this under control. But at the same time, I bet they're freaking out because now I'm bringing a girl home saying I'm in love with her and we're going off to hometown or fantasy suites together.
So you do think that they were acting so rudely, bizarrely, because they were like, what the heck is going on here? And like in some way, maybe they were trying to deter Hannah from picking him.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, definitely. Good for them too.
Yeah. I wish they would have done it in a way that didn't seem so offensive towards Hannah. They seemed to like really belittle the mom and the sister, especially the mom, really seemed to belittle and demean the process of the Bachelorette. And it's just so ironic that she said, I'm sure you're saying I love you to all these guys. And Hannah was like, no, I really haven't. And then she's the one who has the son who said I love you to another girl right before going on the show.
Mm-hmm. How wild is that, right?
So crazy.
Well, I got to respect the parents. And I know people were really? Like giving the parents a little grief last night. Yes. But think about the situation they're in, Ashley. Like, we need to understand the place that they're sitting in. Their son comes home with a woman who he was had a girlfriend 2 months before. They're not only angry with him, they're confused by the show. The show's invading their house. He's telling them he loves her. Like, they're probably really confused and they just want to, they're going to be distant. They're going to be a little bit angry. They're going to say things that probably don't make sense because nothing that's happening in their own household is making sense right now to them.
Okay.
Like, you can't be upset with them.
We should say that Lindsay, in her many interviews, has said that she did meet the family. So that would, you know, contribute to the confusion of, you know, what the heck is going on with this. We just met a girl that you said that you loved and you said that you were just leaving for career reasons and all that. But I just am super confused by why they would put so much sass towards Hannah, because the mom's eyes, like the mom and the sister's eyes, just had so much coldness to them. Why didn't we see conversations between the mom and the sister with Jed and them giving sass to Jed? And why would they be cold towards Hannah? It's not Hannah's issue. It was Jed's issue. So even like as a loving parent, you're still going to be like, this is wrong. You're doing something wrong. Hannah's not doing anything wrong.
Yeah, but I got to think about my parents in this situation where I know if my parents had something like this happening, they'd be so thrown off and their attitudes would have been so negative and confused that their whole persona would have been cold to everybody.
Really? Okay.
Like, yeah. There's no like turning it on or off with my parents, right? If you're if something's happened that's turned them off, they're going to be turned off to everybody, like at least for that period of time. And it's in their own home. So they're not able to like get away and like take 10 deep breaths to like regroup. This is all happening to them at once. And I wouldn't be surprised, because they don't understand the whole situation, if they're grouping Hannah in with this whole experience and they're not able to compartmentalize them and say, oh, Hannah really has nothing to do with this. I wonder if they're thinking, oh, Hannah knows all about this. Like what? I mean, I bet they wanted to ask Jed the question, does Hannah know about Lindsay? But they didn't, because they're smart enough to say, wait, that could be bad if she doesn't. But what if she does and she's good with it? Then we're angry at everybody here.
Yeah. Part of me was wondering whether or not they were like, this is just a show. Like, this is all just for show. She's in it because it's a show and he's in it because it's a show. And I don't even know why they're saying these like love things. Like, they probably think of the show completely unromantically.
Definitely. Yeah. They think it's just a show. And it's unfair a little bit to any family that gets involved in this thing, because they didn't sign up for it. They're not prepared for it. All of a sudden, you know, 50 people show up to your house. They start moving furniture around. They start putting in cameras. You know, all this stuff is going on. You're sitting in your living room talking about, you know, your son in a way that you've never talked about him before. And then all of a sudden everybody shows up and the fun begins. It's unfair to every family that ever has to do it. Some do it better than others. Some like it more than others. But at the end of the day, it's not fair to any family. It's not an enjoyable experience. And this family was definitely the ones that had the most riding on it. They had a lot to process in a very short period of time. I think it's very unfair for any viewer to criticize Jed's family or really any family during this experience because it's hard to process. You can't process it, especially if you have a son who's making it harder on you to process. Like for me, when I sat down with my parents, I gave them a rundown. I said, hey, this is how I need you to act right now. Like I need you to be welcoming, graceful. When you're confused, know that it will be sorted out or ask me. But don't overanalyze any of this stuff. Just make sure that you're getting to know these women the best way possible. Mm-hmm. Jed sat down and was like, I'm falling in love with this girl. And they're like, you just told us that a month and a half ago with Lindsay. Like, what's happening?
Do you think that that's why they were like, it's a musician's lifestyle? Like, they kept talking about, like, he's a musician. He's not ready to settle down. Do we think that it's just because, like, he likes to just hang out with a lot of girls, or do we think that they actually think that he can't focus on his career with the relationship?
Time out. Is Jed making money singing music right now?
Well, we know what the People article said. They said that the dad was paying for part of his rent every month. They also said that he had a zillion side hustles, which means that he's probably like, well, we actually know that he performs sort of at like not a strip club in Nashville, but like a shirtless club.
Yeah. So like, we can't say this is a musician's lifestyle. Like, well, let's not group him in with musicians that we think. I know some really good musicians.
It's a struggling musician's lifestyle.
Struggling musician's lifestyle. He's not ready to settle down because of his career. Fair. Well, I mean, let's lay it on the table. He doesn't make money being a musician. The People article says that his dad's paying for his rent. He doesn't have a consistent album out. Like, as a result, we could definitely point to, you're not probably ready to settle down in a committed relationship.
Yeah, totally.
I think that's great.
But do you think it's weird that like they made it seem like they were putting his music career before him finding love?
No, I mean, because it's what he's pointed to wanting to want, what he wants. Like, they're going off of what they knew about Jed when he left for the show. When he left for the show, his main concern was his career. And so they're trying to get behind and support that. So I don't think it's a family's place to prioritize the kids' desires or their wants, but it is their place to hopefully support those. And so they're just saying, Jed, when you left, you said you wanted to be a musician. Yeah. When you left, you said this was going to be good for your career. Hey, Jed, that's what we got behind and supported, because when you're questioning your motives and saying, hey, is this a good idea? You have a girlfriend, and you said, hey, it's just for my career. That's what we got behind and supported. And now you're saying you're in love.
Oh,
I don't get it.
I just had a thought. Perhaps this was the family's way. Because remember how Jed said that he was going to go on and then like he would make it to hopefully 5 or 4. And then he'd have a great platform for having a career, but he didn't intend to go all the way.
Yeah.
So maybe this was the family's way of trying to get him out of the relationship and being like, okay, he's made it far enough. Now let's back out. That was the plan, that he was going to back out.
There's so much here, Ashley. I don't disagree with you. There's so much here from these hometowns that we can take away. For the first time in a few seasons, I feel like the hometowns are really pointing to what the next few episodes could look like and would look like. One interesting email we got from a listener, Delaney, says promos, though, are ruining this season. I want to talk about the social media promos for the show this season. I'm starting to feel like when Hannah and Chris Harrison promote the episodes, they basically tell us where they're going, who is going on the dates, and where the dates are. The only things left out seem to be who is sent home. I know they want to promote the show, but does anyone else miss the days where everything was a surprise and we didn't even know what the country they're going to? Maybe they're trying to keep up with reality. Steve, I do think that's a possibility. I also think that pointing back to our final conversation about Jed, is there so much going to happen this season that they haven't really ruined anything?
Okay.
I really believe that. Ashley,
I believe you, if that's what you say.
Final thoughts. We broke down each hometown. Peter's was pretty normal, really good, really healthy. Tyler's was emotional. We got to know him better. We enjoyed it. It left well. Luke's was still a little confusing. It was his best week by far. He was more likable than he wasn't. But there's still things that we don't know about Luke that we will get to know very soon. And I'm sure we'll get to know a lot about Luke's own personal feelings and values in the next following weeks. And finally, Jed. Jed is this one. It's hard for us to process. I mean, how are we going to process a guy that we know had a girlfriend leading up to the show? How are we going to even at any level enjoy any sweet nothings he says or sings to Hannah and his family, let's give them a break. Like, I totally get it. Let's not put them responsible for the terrible decisions that Jed has made leading up to this experience. Ashley, after this week, can you rank these four guys and then tell us who your favorite for next Bachelor is?
Tyler, Peter. I don't know.
Yeah, fair. That's kind of how Hannah felt, I think, right? She left everybody stayed because she was like, Tyler, Peter. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, let's talk about that rose ceremony really quickly. How did you feel about her just deciding to take everyone to Fantasy Suites? I thought it was a great idea. I think that Fantasy Suites week is usually the week that you learn the most about somebody. Alone time is really critical, as we've talked about before on this podcast many times. And I feel like if she really is so torn, I feel like they should never have to eliminate somebody if, like she said, she didn't feel like the relationship would have been complete. She would have like been left wondering what if. And I think that what we should do in life is eliminate as many what ifs as possible.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's fair. I'm not mad at her at all for keeping people around. I think it's gets it. There's too much confusion still. Jed's hometown date was so confusing to her that she was like, wait, I love this guy. I like this guy. I was falling in love with him. And now I'm confused. Luke's was like, I kind of liked him more after going to his hometown. And yet this guy has been a puzzle piece the whole time that I just can't crack. And the other two are like, of course they're going to be around. I like them both. So no, I think it's fair. Keep them around. It just makes it more fun in the following weeks of Fantasy Suites.
But what about the inner, the moment that we saw Jed react to the fact that he was so torn, that she was so torn in that moment? Like, he didn't respond very well. He was like, oh, she's putting me and Luke on the same ranking?
Right now, it makes sense to me. I mean, I see it from an outsider's perspective. I don't know how he was feeling internally, but I'm looking at it as a viewer going, yeah, they're definitely on the same ranking. We're both just confused by him. Like, we just don't even know anymore. So,
I don't mind
him getting upset.
Do you think I feel like, honestly, that was a move because they knew that Jed would be the most sensitive about that. I don't think the family turned Hannah off that much. I think they knew that Tyler and Pete kind of, they've been so even keeled, calm and cool headed the entire time. If they were going to get a reaction from someone, it would have been Jed against Luke.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like truly, Jed belongs with the other three, and like the one that would have been eliminated in that moment would have been Luke. I don't think they're in the same category in Hannah's head.
The good part is now for next week that none of them will interact. And so we'll see all three of them four of them separately. Jed just has to get over himself and move on. And I think Fantasy Suites will be telling to see where their relationship stand. I don't know at this point. As I said, I'm kind of like Jed's family. I feel like I'm just confused at what's happening. Like, how has he gone this far? Keeping playing music the whole time, and at the same time of all of it, he has a girl back home. I don't know how to process this. And then with Luke's been a mystery the whole season. We were talking 4 weeks ago about why he's still around. Yeah, he's still around, and now we're finally we're at some time point saying it kind of makes sense. Like, she's still interested and intrigued. The next few weeks, Ashley, I'm pumped for. We're going to continue to break it down. We're not taking any more weeks off until this whole thing's done. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if we pump out, you know, two episodes at some point, just because it's so much fun to talk.
I think we do have two episodes coming up. Extra bonus.
That's right, Ash. Ash, you're the best. What a great week for Bachelor Nation. What a great week for hometowns. In your opinion, who's the next Bachelor?
I mean, I would hope that who I want to be the next Bachelor, Hannah ends up with. Which would be Ooh. Tyler.
Okay.
But I also, like, he's my choice for Bachelor and he's my choice for Hannah.
I think Tyler is probably most people's choice for the next Bachelor, but I also think he might be with Hannah.
But can I
don't
I
know
say
how this
something?
Plays out, though. Yeah.
I feel like an ideal world would probably be Hannah ends up with Tyler and then Peter becomes the Bachelor.
Ashley, I hope that for the rest of your life, you can live in your own ideal world. That's what I hope for you, Ashley. And that's what I hope for all of our listeners. Hey, it's been a great week. It's been a great episode of the Almost Famous podcast. With that, We love you. We thank you. Thanks for dealing with us being gone last week. We needed it. I've been Ben.
I've been Ashley. Toodaloo.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
This sun season, evolve your sun care with new Banana Boat 360 coverage.
With advanced control mist, it's a new way to spray.
It's an all-new bottle for an all-new mist experience that smells great and is incredibly light on your skin. Better control means coverage that you can count on. To customize your spray, tap the trigger lightly to cover targeted areas or pull the trigger fully for a long, continuous spray, ensuring long-lasting Banana Boat protection. Plus, it's refillable.
From sweat-resistant, sport formula to kids, SPF 50+. Now, I have to wear sunscreen every day. That is one of the things that has
existed.
You have
an esthetician wife.
I have an esthetician wife. It is her number one recommendation for people. If you do nothing else, wear sunscreen. So when I'm out and about, when I'm on the lake this year, when I'm playing golf, yeah, protection from Banana Boat 360 coverage will be absolutely essential. So shop Banana Boat 360 Mist at Walmart, Target, or Amazon.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia.
Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
Love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people in an unscripted, unvarnished way. It's getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine. And I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.